Blog Talk Radio.
I'm on my way to Amarillo. I can't seem to get my fill of that little West Texas town. I've got a sweet thing built right, Betty. Head to toe, she's mighty pretty, living in that West Texas town. Friday comes, it's time to roll. Time for me to hit the road. I've got my eyes on the horizon. My little dish in that panhandle lights up like a Roman candle when I reach that West Texas town. Plainview, I can't wait to get to you-know-who in that West Texas town. I drive through hell and half of Texas just to get to her. My breakfast waiting in that West Texas town. Friday comes, it's time to roll. Time for me to hit the road. I've got my eyes on the horizon. My little dish in that panhandle lights up like a Roman candle when I reach that West Texas. Big Papa's coming home to that West Texas town.
Oh. Welcome, everybody, to Sunday night to the West Texas Stepmaster Barbecue Show. We're going to have a good night tonight. We've got a couple of great guys coming on tonight that are big into the steak cook-offs and barbecue also. So need to give a shout out to our sponsors tonight, Daryl Mass, the Barbecue Superstars, and Barbecue Superstars Radio. Without him, we wouldn't be doing this tonight. GOT Energy Services out of Midland, Texas, great bunch of guys. Can't say enough about them. Oak Ridge Barbecue, got some great rubs out there. Y'all need to give them a try. Texas Web and Graphics, if you need any website work or graphics or logos or anything like that, give them a shout. Grill Great, and Grill Great's got some great products, and you need to put a nice sear on steak. They're the guys to do it. Meat Rake, if you need full support, they're the meat experts on that end of it. So give them a big shout out too. 82's Barbecue, they've got some great barbecue sauces. Give them a holler. And Big Ron's Rubs, he's got some killer products out there, some really good beef injections and stuff, so give them a shout. Looks like we've already got one of our guys in tonight, and so I'll get him in here in just a second. Our first guest is going to be Brett Galloway. He's a big steak cook out of Texas. And they're putting on a steak cook-off next weekend, North Texas Steak Cook-Off, and looks like they're going to have a really good turnout. His team is called United States Steaks of America. Been cooking for several years. Great guy. I'm going to bring him in, and we'll get started tonight. Brett, you there? (469) 693-1179. Are you here? Well, seeing maybe having a little problem with the board here. Give me just a second. We'll refresh it and see if we can get him in. Our other guest tonight is going to be Monty Brown with Trash Can Cookers out of the San Antonio area. Another big-time cook. Matter of fact, won the world championship this year and in the state cook-off here just a few weeks ago. We're going to bring him in, too. Let's see what's going on here. We got the chat room open tonight. Just need to make sure if everybody can hear me. So, bear with me just a second. And let's see what we can get down here. Brett, can you hear us now? I'm sure they have them in here live, but it's not coming up. Four 469-693-1179, can you hear us? I'm trying another number here real quick. 361-387-7374, can you hear us?
Monty Brown's on, I can hear you.
You can hear me, all right. Well, okay, got one. It shows Brett to be live, but he's not coming in yet.
I know he's on there.
Well, he just sent me a message that he can hear me, but I can't hear him. Let me get him to try to call back in and see if maybe this will work. And we'll get him going. Well, how's it down in your part of the world tonight?
It's hot.
That good old West Texas heat's been up here today, too. It's not as bad as it was. We were over 100, I think, Friday. I think we're probably in the low 90s today, so it's not bad. So it's not too bad.
Had a little shower come through here. We're at 100% humidity right now. Skeeters are out. Yeah, it's nice and lovely.
Yeah, well, you can keep them skeeters, that's for sure. You know, that's one thing. You know, we hadn't had any rain around here so long. We don't have to worry about mosquitoes.
I was going to practice today, but they kind of eliminated that deal.
Well, all right. Let's see. Brett just called back in. Let me see if we can get him in here. Brett, can you hear us now?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Hey, yes, sir. There you are. Good deal.
There we go. I thought it was just my wife that couldn't hear me. Good Lord.
Well, you know, that'd be nicer down in,
wouldn't it? It would.
No, here now these boards kind of act funny, so
some guys
have a lot more problems than we do, but we'll give it a shot. So... Well, you guys got a big cut going on next weekend. Why don't you tell us a little bit about this?
Sure. We're hosting the North Texas State Cook-Off next weekend. It's on next Saturday. It's a one-day event, and it'll be on Lake Louisville at Westlake Park. So far, I got my 40th team entered yesterday, which for a first-year cook is great, and we're really excited.
Good deal. You know, I've entered several jackpot, you know, steak cooks to look at. Nothing ever like what you guys are cooking. And, you know, I guess, can you give us a little bit of background into that and kind of what goes on and tell the people
sure.
out there?
Well, a barbecue cook-off is a two-day event, and, you know, it can get a little long. But a steak cook-off, the biggest difference is it's much more interactive with the public. The public's invited to come out, and they'll actually walk around the teams, and, you know, like from 2 to 3:30, we'll serve appetizers to the public. And so they can come around, talk to the cooks, they get to taste their food. And that's kind of how they decide who's going to cook their steak dinner that evening. We also cook steak dinners for the public, and, you know, we sell a $20 cowboy dinner. And so, you know, it's a great way to meet people. And I think Monty got his first entry in it and really liked it. Did you like that aspect of it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, that was great. Of course, I won it. So.
Well, yeah.
I was really excited about that.
Always makes it better. But it's cooks anywhere from backyard guys to, well, there will be two world champions cooking this week or next weekend.
Wow. Well,
it'll be... It's a full-day event. We've got live bands all day. There's a kid fish. There's a car show, a bass fishing tournament. just a little bit of everything.
Man, yeah, you guys are going to have kind of a blowout there. So
we are.
Now, like payouts and stuff like that in these kind of contests, how does that how does that kind of play out? I mean, is it pretty much like a barbecue competition, or, you know, how does that work?
It's similar. We do trophies for 1 through 10, and then 1 through 5, there's payouts. First place is $2,500. Second place is $15, and it goes down from there down to $250 on fifth place. So
wow.
Everyone's going to leave with a nice check, and it's just a great time.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Well, and okay. Now, like I said, you know, once again, I've done some jackpot stuff, but do you furnish your own meat, or how does that work?
In these, you know, you'll bring in your own appetizer stuff, but the steaks are all provided by the cook-off. We're using 16-ounce ribeyes from a local butcher here in town. They're great quality, but we provide those to the teams. That way, everybody's on the same playing field. You know, nobody's going to go buy a Wagyu. You know, everybody's cooking the same exact steaks. And that really just leaves it up to the cook. How good can they cook?
Sure. No, absolutely. I like that aspect of it. Just, you know, you're not dealing with one guy cooking a ribeye, another guy over here cooking a filet, and this guy throwing in a porterhouse or something like that. And, you know, that's what we always get into, those kind of deals, is we get into, you know, everybody's throwing different meats and stuff like that a lot of times in these, and it makes it tough. And so, okay. Well, do what? Go ahead.
We're doing it. The State Cook-Off Association is a new deal I started. It's similar to maybe IBCA or Lone Star or KCBS. But really, what it's doing is trying to get everything on the same page, you know, a standardized set of rules that everybody can follow. And when you go from one cook-off to the next, you know what it's going to be. You know, it's nothing worse than get to a cook-off and all of a sudden you're supposed to cook it medium well instead of medium, or you're cooking sirloins instead of ribeyes. You know, it really makes it, yeah, just trying to get it consistent for the cooks.
So, okay, you brought up an interesting thing there. So, do y'all usually dictate to what degree of doneness you guys cook to?
We do, yeah. You cook it to medium. Now, I'm eating it medium rare. I'm sure Monty is as well. But in competition, 20% of your score is a warm pink center. You want it medium. And there's a skill to cooking it that way. You know, you can't just cook it that way and turn it in because it's going to carry over cook. You know, so it's 20% of your score. You want to see if they can cook it right. You know,
okay,
they have a 30-minute
right.
window, and go ahead.
You said you had a 30-minute window?
Yeah, there's a 30-minute window. From 4 to 4:30, they'll be turning in their competition steaks. And so there's some gamesmanship in that. Do I turn in early? Do I turn in the middle? Do I turn in late? You know, it's really just, it's your call on it.
Okay. Oh. Man, that's interesting. And, just like you said, I mean, exactly. You know, I do a lot of steak cooks and stuff for, you know, charity stuff and things like that around here. And, you know, I have one deal that we do that, you know, I think last year we did up to about 625 steaks. And, you know, I generally try to cook them just what you say, you know, kind of the medium rare, because they're going to throw them in coolers and stuff like that. By the time you get them in there, they're still cooking. And, you know, you're
absolutely
trying to hit that medium target range, you know, to where everybody's kind of happy, you know. You know, there'll be a little bit that are maybe a little more well done than, you know, that there is a skill to that, and, you know, I had never thought about that, you know, as far as in a steak cook-off, you guys actually, you know, telling them the degree of doneness. I kind of like that idea. So,
yeah,
now,
appearance is part of your score as well, even. So I think you talked about Grill Grates being one of your sponsors. They
yeah,
actually sponsor our cook team, and they're helping us with the cook-off. 20% of your score is appearance, and if you can lock down a set of Grill Grates, you got it.
Yes, absolutely. You know, and that's what I was telling everybody last week and the weekend before. We had a barbecue kickoff up here, and 105 teams. And they had a kids cook. And so my daughter, she cooked steak. She cooked ribeye. And we used the grill grates on it. And, I mean, man, just did spectacular. You know, she ended up with a second place out of the field. So they're they're an awesome product. And matter of fact, I'm working on having a new cooker built that essentially I can lay my grates in there and I can leave them on one side and just wait to have that right there to cook, you know, steaks or, you know, pork chops or whatever on that end of it. And I love them. So now, judging wise, when you said that, you know, 20% of your score is done this, so run down, I guess, through maybe the judging process and what all there is involved in that end of it.
Okay. Well, the steaks are judged on appearance, doneness, taste, texture, and then they give them an overall impression of the steak, you know, and they grade them 1 through 10 on each one. So, I mean, the judges, one of the things we changed was the number of judges we'll have because we're going to run two tables in this event. So, you know, your judges are only going to be probably tasting 20 bites instead of, you know, I was at one, it was 87 people recently. It's a lot of bites of steak.
Yeah.
That's a lot of bites.
Yeah.
So,
up there with
all
the
our judges are
going to
be trained. What's that?
I said you'd be up there competing with the Big Texan, you know, someone trying to eat a 72-ounce steak.
No doubt. But we've got all our judges are from the food industry. You know, one of them's a celebrity chef from here in the Dallas area, Blythe Beck, and the other ones are all regionals and district managers with restaurants or steakhouses that know food. So I think that makes a big difference also.
Okay. Yeah,
you know,
I mean,
I think
absolutely.
They're people that are qualified.
Right.
So.
Right. Well, you know, and they had on, you know, I was watching some reruns today, you know, because they're fixing to air all the Pitmaster, the new season starts tonight.
Nice.
They had old Cervantes and them. They were cooking their cowboy steaks today. And we get a pretty good chuckle out of all that, how they're doing that. And so I thought it was kind of
fitting
that
was an
to see
interesting
that today.
One.
So
I was at that event. That was interesting to watch them do it. That was really neat.
Really? I bet that was.
Yeah.
So.
Those guys
now,
are great.
You've been. Yes. I cooked with Ernest earlier this year. We had a big Kansas City cook in Midland this year. And him and Rob Sierra both come down and we cooked with them. And just great guys. And
absolutely.
So. Now, you've been cooking steak cook-off since, I guess, 2009, is that correct?
Yes, sir. Yeah, we started in 2009 was our first one. And my wife and I were watching the Food Network one day, and the Texas Steak Cook-Off came on television. And I said, man, I can do that, honey. And she opened her mouth and said, you can do anything. Well, that was my cue to download that app before she changed her mind because I know her real well. So I downloaded the application, filled it out, put a stamp on it, and we were in our first one before she even knew it hit her. So, and then we did the first one, and we just, you know, you're around the public, and I'm an old restaurant guy. I used to run restaurant operations, and to me it's just like being back in a restaurant. You're talking to people, making friends, and I just love it.
Absolutely.
And we've been
hooked
ever since.
Well, yes. I mean, you know, yeah, I kind of like that aspect of it myself. And, steak cook-off, barbecue cook-off, it's, you know, all about that, you know, kind of that way. And and then you guys, in 2011, y'all won the World Championship. Is that correct?
We did. Yeah, we did. We got, I think there were 78 teams there that year, and it was a nice, pleasant surprise for us because we had been doing well, but you never know until we went there, and then we were just very happy. It was awesome.
Yeah, I bet so.
We went back.
Now, okay, when you go to the World Championship, do you have to qualify to get into the event, or is it just an open event, everybody can cook it, or how does that work?
That one's an open event. You can. We qualified to get in through Cook-Off in Crockett, Texas, but, I mean, you can just enter it now.
Okay.
So we're like creating the State Cook-Off Association. One of the things I'm doing, I'm working with a television producer, and we're hoping to get a lot of these big state cook-offs. I've got 4 states committed so far, and televise those cook-offs, and then hopefully the final one we can televise is a, you know, the big world championship, and it'll be on television. That's the idea. Just waiting for the contract to get back.
Sure. And okay, now, like this world championship,
mm-hmm.
is there one world championship every year, or and is it in the same location every year, or is that rotating different places? How does that work?
Right now, it's in the same place. It's Magnolia, Arkansas. They're the biggest, the oldest, and you know that they have the title right now.
Okay.
And they throw one of the best cook-offs in the country. David up there is an incredible leader of it, and they do a great job.
Okay. Well, I'm going to have to do one of these. I'm going to have to get set up. I'd already committed to a local cook-off within about 70 miles of us. And so, matter of fact, it's where my wife's from, and so we kind of cook down there every year. We've got family and stuff down there. But I'm going to have to most definitely I like cooking one of these one time. I love to cook steaks, so they right down my down my alley.
There's several of them around the Southwest. I mean, we've flown to Florida for one this year, North Carolina, Arkansas. We drove up there, and there's one later in the year in Tulsa you might consider. They do a wonderful job. Trip Haggard runs that one, and the winner of our cook-off actually gets a free entry into Tulsa this year as well. I don't know if I mentioned that.
Okay.
So that's another prize that they win.
Yeah, I'm going to wait a little. He ain't coming, I guess. You still
out there, Mom? I guess I didn't hear it. What did you say?
listen to you, Mom. The winner.
I'm just coming over there to work on my steak.
He's got his work cut out for him. There are some
it's
going
to be tough this year because we're cooking like we went to the Arkansas, and you weren't cooking it, but against maybe a couple of Texas state cooks. This cook-off, I mean, a lot of people from Texas are going to cook it. So, yeah, I'll probably be going home with my tail between my legs. But it's still going to be fun.
Good is good, buddy. Good is good.
It's going to be good.
So, well, and for people that don't know, Monty, in fact, just won the world championship at State Cook-Off this year. And I can only imagine what that was like. How many teams did you go up against, Monty?
Oh, shoot. I don't remember now. It was like 87.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what it was, Brett?
Yeah, it was 87 teams.
87 teams. And, it was exciting. First year to cook it. Yeah, it was great. I mean, it was fun. As far as steaks, I mean, Brett helped me out a lot to get there. So, I mean, there was no doubt that Brett helped me get there. And it was fun. We did it. We pulled it off. I mean, I ran 5 steaks and my 4 sample steaks. I was just so disappointed in. And then when I got the call, it was just, wow. To hold that cup and that governor's cup and to stand up there with that magnitude of teams that are there, Walker Tree Farms, Brett, everybody else, I mean, it was huge.
I bet so, man.
Very excited. You know, from a regular competition cook, I mean, that's pretty huge running that steak world. And,
yes,
you know, that's
absolutely.
That's really huge.
You know, like I said, all those little jackpot stuff and, you know, and even in them things, they get pretty tough. So, you know, I can only imagine when, you know, it's a bunch of actually seasoned cooks that are cooking steaks. I can only imagine what it's like, you know. About the only other person I've ever had, you know, that you know, I guess would be kind of semi-famous would be Mike McNearman. you know, he does, you know, the grill master stuff. And when we were out in Vegas this year, we cooked out there. The regional deal in the Kansas City. He fixed me a steak one afternoon, and man, it was a good steak. And So I can only imagine what you know how it is. I mean, when you go into competitions like everything else, like barbecue or whatever, you know, there's it's on a whole different level.
Yep.
And a lot of people don't understand that. You know, you'll feed them stuff, and it's just, you know, you throw some rub on something, you cook it up, and everybody's like, man, that's just really good. And then, you know, if they ever try something in competition, they're like, oh my gosh. it's a different level. And so I can only imagine what it would be like to have one of these steaks like that. I bet that's just spectacular. So is there any advice, I guess, you'd give someone if they wanted to start in this? I mean, what would it take? And I guess what would be kind of the necessary tools of the trade to kind of to start off in it, and, you know, what kind of advice can you give someone to start off in it?
You want me to hit that, Monty, or you want to hit it?
Either way. I don't care.
All right. First thing, go get a set of grill grates. They're great. They don't just leave the marks. They actually help steam the steak as well at the same time. But those will give you the marks you're looking for, and just, you know, nice hot fire. And a thermal pen. Those are the three things you need: a hot fire, a grill grate, some thermal pen to get started. It may look good, then you got to work on the flavor. And that's
right.
The hard part. You still want to taste the steak. You know, you don't want to mask the flavor of the steak. The star is the steak. You don't want to hide it. That's
so more of kind of an enhancement, maybe more of a mm-hmm. salt and pepper based type seasoning. Would that be
Yeah,
absolutely.
They do. They provide the best steak. I mean, you're talking about certified Angus, so when you roll in there, I mean, you don't want to mask it with too much. Just salt, pepper, a little bit of garlic, and you're good to roll. I mean, hit it at 700 degrees, put the marks on it, wish it the best, and
say a prayer, and away you go.
You're gonna hit with that.
Okay,
no,
you said 700 degrees, is that correct?
That's what I run, 700 degrees.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you guys cook with gas, or is it all more of a charcoal base, or what kind of fuel do you
use? Charcoal. I cook personally over charcoal. I like lump.
Same thing for me, you lump.
Yeah. Well, that's how I do it, and, you know, I like steaks like that, or, you know, really anything. Just throw that into it. I'm not much of a gas person, but as a matter of fact, usually when I try to use some gas, I usually burn everything up. So
gas is
I
only good for putting on a torch.
That's it. Get your fire started fast. That after that, it's you don't need anything.
That's
and,
it.
So do most of you guys cook on like Weber's or? What type of a cooker is the good cooker for something like this?
I cook on a Weber kettle in competition.
Okay.
And at home, but I mean, other people use different grills. It's just what I'm used to.
Yeah, I use actually a chicken cooker and a Weber. I have a two-step process that I do, so. The chicken cookers by Danny Patton.
Right.
So that's my process.
And that's one man pits, is that correct?
Yes. One man pits out of Shiner.
Yep. I'll say, I think he built chicken cookers and a lot of that.
Oh, yeah.
I think Lake Sierra runs a chicken cooker from him, if I remember right.
Yeah, he does. He does.
Yep.
When he cooks on his own pit.
Yeah, exactly.
When he cooks on his own pit.
Yes, that's true, too. It don't seem to matter.
On rented pits.
Yes, I've been there, man. It happened to me in Midland. He done it right there, you know. He was cooking on, I think, a Stumps that weekend, or I think it was a Stumps. And he didn't first time ever cooked on thing, and I think he took second or third in brisket. And I'm like, good Lord.
Hey, yeah, we need to change his name.
Yeah,
He needs to be any pit instead of pit master. We'll just call him any pits, yeah.
That's right.
Good. Yeah, there you go. There you go. No, he's a great guy, tough competitor, though. So,
absolutely.
You know, every time I go down in that part of the world, I dread so much, especially in chicken categories, because I have yet to figure out, you know, chicken south of I-20. And I do real well chicken up this way. I get down there and it's like, forget it. You know, I pray for ribs and brisket down that way. Oh, it is. It is. And people don't understand that. You know, they go down there and they cook the same way. And man, you know, we cook, you know, Brett, you and I cooked at Trader's last year together. And, you know, I final tabled in every category except for chicken. And I couldn't final it in the backyard competition or any of it. I couldn't hit a chicken. And I thought, man, I tried to grill it. I tried to smoke it. And I thought, well, okay.
Heck, I'm just hoping they start add turkey as a category. I did the best in turkey at Trader's. I don't know why.
Well, you can come down here to Atlas Turkey Throwdown. You know, you could do that one.
There we go. Maybe my size.
You know, yeah. I think I was 11th in turkey last year. I was right there on the edge of it, and I thought I was in. And, that is just kind of the way it ran that weekend. It's like I hit final table, I get right there at the edge of it, and it's like, yeah, you're out. It's like, man. So, but, you know, it's a lot of tough competition, and, you know, you get down that part of the world. And, yeah, every time I go down that part of the world, you guys kind of hurt us West Texas boys. We don't know what we're in for most of the time.
That's right. They put a hurt on North Texas, too.
Georgetown. Yeah, I was going to say. I was looking at old Monty stuff, and it's like, man, you've been hot this year. I mean, with Del Rio and Texas Trophy Hunters. You know, there was, what, 111 teams or something there, Texas Trophy Hunters this year, wasn't there?
Well, I don't remember the total number over there, but I've been pretty fortunate. I'm can't complain. I have a lot of help from a lot of great people, and to cook those events and win those, I'm at the point right now, I'm sitting here thinking, you know, did we go for number 7? You know, it's always the number 7. I've got 4 qualifiers right now. If I can get another quick hit, then, yeah, I may run for those 2. But, I mean, I got wife, kids, and, you know, so I've got to get the support from them. They've been pretty supportive so far. Which that wasn't our intention this year. Was just to do a few this year. We were just going to do the big ones, and we hit those, and I hit the ones that I wanted, and now it's come to a decision. He even told me, he said, I thought you were going to be done after this.
Yep.
So, I don't know what to do.
Yeah, that goes around my house, too. You know, I've done, I think, 10 contests this year, and you know, I started looking at me, matter of fact, here a couple of weeks ago. You know, she looked at me, she's like, when's this going to stop? I was like, well, I don't know. I was like, oh, here soon, I guess. You know, I guess I'll back off a little bit. And, you know, of course, you know, this time of the year up here, it kind of slows down up here. So, you know, we'll have a contest next weekend. And I may cook one around 4th of July if I get my pass to do it. We usually go down to Lake Brownwood, and they're having a contest within about 40 miles there, and I was like, you know, that's like a 4-day weekend right there. I might, you know, I'll just go ahead and drag the pit and go, and if I get a green light. Otherwise, I'll just be hanging around the lake. So I understand that. You know, that's why I wish, you know, there was more kids cook-offs, you know, because that's an easy one, you know. My daughter involved in it, and then, you know, you get a pass.
Yeah, I know. My son's ready to go. He's fired up. He's excited. I got him a little bitty Weber, and he's been practicing and doing the same thing. And I told him, I said, you're not going to win at this if you don't practice. I mean, you got to practice till you're blue in the face, until you're tired of it. I mean, my whole family's tired of all this stuff. You know, because I use everybody. You know, family reunions, weddings. I mean, I'll run a program in there just so they can try something and say, hey, what do you think about that? Wow, at first bite, it's good, but after that, it's terrible. Like, perfect. That's the one I want.
That's a
well,
fact.
You know, yes. Go ahead, Brett.
Oh, I said that's a fact. One bite.
Yeah, it's just one bite. That's all they get.
Mm-hmm.
We're not feeding them. I'm not a caterer.
No, so. But you know that's exactly right, though. And I mean, you know, and I do the same thing around here. I mean, you know, everybody, you know, I'll have the cooker going, and people will stop and all the guys at work, you know, they'll eat brisket till they're sick of it, and my neighbors and family, and my wife, she won't even look at it anymore. If I said we're going to have barbecue, she'd turn her nose up, and, you know, she's off to Burger King or something. Like, you know, I don't want any. Like, you know, come on, you need to be more supportive about this. So,
sounds familiar, doesn't it?
You know. Of course, we've been doing 18 to 20 contests a year ourselves, and, I mean, it is. I mean, you know, you've got to cook all the time to keep, you know, kind of keep up with it. And, you know, I took a few months off last summer, and when I started back up, I mean, everything, it was like I'd been out of it for a whole year or something because, I mean, everything seemed like it changed. Profile, whole nine yards. And the things we were strong in, we were getting our butts whipped in, you know, everything shifted. And, you know, it's, I don't understand some of that sometimes, but, you know, I guess that's part of the draw to it, to enjoy it. Because, I mean, you know, I like to compete, and I was always, you know, competitive, you know, growing up. I like to play football and stuff like that. And, you know, I kind of consider this a little bit of an older man sport now. You don't have to be quite as physical. So, but, yeah, no, you've hit some really good licks this year, and I think you probably ought to go for it. Of course, your wife probably won't want to talk to me anymore after that. So.
She might not.
Like, okay, well, you can't talk to him anymore. He's a bad influence.
You're not doing this radio show anymore.
Yeah, you're out of here, buddy. So, well, I was just looking in the chat room to see what we had going on in there, and it looks like Mr. Cervantes is hanging out in there tonight.
Ernest, big help of mine. I mean, he's been a Mr. Ernest.
Yeah, let's get him in. Mr. Food
Blog
now.
You got to get him in here because he's been a great help to me. I mean, we spent a whole weekend together just talking about barbecue.
Well, hey, no, he's a great guy, great guy.
Oh, yeah, definitely, no doubt.
So, like I said, you know, I was watching him earlier today, and then, you know, I seen that he posted that he's got a new food blog, I believe, out now. He's going to be doing some of that stuff. So, maybe here in the next week or two, I can get him in, and we can kind of talk that up a little bit and get that going. No, I mean, you know, and that was kind of the whole reason when Daryl Mass hit me up about doing a Texas show. I mean, I don't know if I'm really the guy to be doing this, but I was like, you know, I'd love to try to, you know, help promote Texas cooks and stuff like that. I mean, because, you know, we probably have more cooks here in the state of Texas than probably anywhere, and, you know, no one ever hears anything about us. I mean, you know, we just kind of sit over here, you know, and, you know, if you do say Texas, you know, the first word out of everybody's mouth is, well, brisket. And that's all we've known for. And so I thought it'd be good to kind of get some of that out here. And you know, I do a lot of IBCA cooking and stuff like that. And, you know, that's kind of the other thing about it is kind of get some of this promoted and get it out there. And you know, get some of you guys recognized and stuff like that. I mean, I think that's what we need.
Yeah, I think it's great. I mean, because you see what's going on TV right now. I mean, it's all KCBS. And IBCA is just pushing on the back door to get there. And it's a great association. And there's a lot of great cooks. I mean, just like you mentioned before, you know, you got Ernest out there, Robert, CJ's been hot this year. Ronnie Wade's already got his number seven. And shoot, I mean, it's there. I mean, it's
it is.
You don't get there just by being large. I mean,
no.
they're there, you know. So
that's it. I mean, and you know, I think that's what, you know, we finally, you know, that was one thing that, you know, when I kind of got into this blog radio deal, you know, I have some rubs and stuff out there too that And that's what it kind of started out with, was on the Chris Chadwick show, was that, you know, he was looking for some of that stuff, and I thought, well, you know, I'll get on there and, you know, see if I can promote a little bit or whatever. And, you know, we got to talking about a little bit of IBCA, Randy Hill and Andy Hill, you know, them boys over in Arkansas, they were kind of putting on a deal, and, you know, with Cody and them on Lulu's radio show, they kind of got that going, and they started talking about IBCA, and Daryl kind of jumped on it. It's like, you know, hey, I want to know more about it. And he really has went to pushing and talking about the IBCA. And that's where some of this, you know, kind of originated from. And I think that, you know, finally we might actually get some recognition that, you know, Texas and you know, IBCA and the cookers around here deserve. I mean, you know, like I said, I mean, they're some of the best cooks in this state, and I mean, no one hears about them. I mean, you know, everybody hears, just what you said, everybody hears about the, you know, FBA or Georgia or Kansas City and all that, and they're all great organizations, but, you know, we need something over here, and more people need to know about it, because, you know, same thing with IBCA, is that it's not just a Texas thing, it's everywhere, and, you know, it is an international cooking association, and
yeah,
you know, there's several states that are involved in. California's doing some, Utah, Arkansas, Louisiana, Texas, Hawaii.
Yeah, we're getting ready. They're getting ready to go to Hawaii. You know, good friend of mine, Tim Lemon's getting ready to head that way and go do that. He's from just down the road, like 10 miles away. He's getting ready to head that way and do that. So that's pretty exciting.
Yeah, I mean, you know, so, you know, it's a lot bigger than what a lot of people think. And, you know, I think that we were within, like, I think this is right. I think him and Daryl told me this last year, but we were, like, within 50 to 100 contests of what the Kansas City organization was. You know, I mean, that's huge. I mean, and people don't realize how many cook-offs that is put on. I mean, man, you know, like I said, I like to get that out there. And like I said, it's like the steak stuff. I mean, you know, that's another big thing that I think that, you know, and to me, I guess, you know, Brett, like entry fees, what does it cost to enter a steak cook-off?
It's $150. It's $150, so but you're not bringing any meat. You spend $100 on meat every week.
Absolutely.
You know?
And so, you know, for even the backyard guys that wanted to get out there and wanted to do a little competing and start out something like that, they'd have a minimal investment in stuff to go out there and cook and that kind of stuff. And I think that's great. I mean, because, you know, yeah, I mean, barbecue competition, you know, absolutely, it gets expensive really quick.
Real quick.
Yeah, you know, I didn't realize how bad it was until I got into it. And then, you know, of course, you know, we hit some licks last year and you know, 1099 started showing up. And I'm like, okay, we need to do something about this. And, you know, so I go to track and everything. And I'm sitting there going at the end of the year going, oh, wow. We spent a lot of money. So
you have a lot of fun, though.
Oh, absolutely. And like I said, you know, the thing about both of these is that, you know, they're both very family-oriented. I mean, it's something that, you know, you can get your kids involved in, and, you know, everybody can kind of go out and have a good time. And, you know, it's probably one of the biggest pastimes out there that we have. And, you know, people don't realize it. And it's they're great sports, though, too. I mean, and, you know, things like Pitmaster, stuff like that's brought a lot of this in there. But you look at, you know, the Food Network, and there's a couple other channels now that, you know, they're doing this stuff and, you know, promoting this. And, I mean, even, you know, steak stuff. You know, the Destination Channel, I think they had a deal last weekend on, you know, about steaks and, you know, just lots of good stuff out there. So, but anyways.
As a 44-year-old man, there's not a lot we can compete at this age. So, you know, I don't drink enough cheap beer, so bowling's out for me. So I got to keep cooking.
Yeah, I know that. I saw what you drank this weekend. That was horrible.
Watch it, Chief. I did
say that. I'm going to eat Saturday, though.
No. Well, and, you know, okay, in like this event, I mean, how many people in the public will you guys, you know, typically feed in something like this?
Well, this is the first one, and we haven't sold as many tickets as we should, so we'll probably serve maybe 200 steaks to the public. You know, when we do Tulsa, they'll serve 3,000 steaks. Magnolia served 4,000 steaks this year. I mean, they serve a lot of steaks.
Okay.
We have not sold many tickets because we got started late on the deal.
Sure. Okay, and when let's say, you know, you've got 40 cooks and you've got 200 people that want steaks, and then you guys also talked about practice steaks and stuff like that. So typically, each contestant, how many steaks will they cook in one of these events?
Generally, every cook at ours is going to be given 2 steaks for competition. You'll cook both, turn in the best one. I also give them an extra 2 steak dinner tickets that they can give to either their friends and family, or they can turn those in for 2 more steaks. So you can have 4 steaks to cook and turn in the best one. Generally, at the competitions, if, say, Monty and I are competing, and I volunteer to cook 100 steaks for the public, and he has a small grill and he'll cook 20, which is what, you know, most people will do, then I have an advantage because I have 104 steaks to choose from and he has 24. Does that make
sense?
That's
what I was getting at. Yes. That's kind of where I was going with that.
Yeah. And at my cook-up, that's one of the things we changed is the public steaks won't go out until competition steaks go in. That way everybody has the exact same chance. And, you know, I'm not saying the other way's wrong, but I've listened to a lot of cookers complain to me, and I'm going to make sure the cookers are happy because they're the ones that run these cook-offs, or they're the ones that come.
You know, and that's exactly right. And I mean, you know, and that's with the, you know, even, you know, the barbecue cook-off, stuff like that. You know, a lot of people don't realize that, you know, we do. We spend a lot of money, a lot of time, a lot of investment getting that stuff there. And so, you know, if a cook has a bad experience at one of these events, I mean, you know, it can poison an event real quick. And,
absolutely. We're doing everything we can to make the cooks happy. I've got Red Bull showing up at 8 o'clock in the morning to give every team a 4-pack as they register. They're coming back in the afternoon at 4 to make sure the guys have wings. To give them more, I've got a hospitality tent that's sponsored by our sponsor, Dripping Springs Vodka. So the guys are welcome to go in the tent, cool off. There's ice-cold water. There's ice-cold vodka. Anyway, we have a tent just for the cookers, a hospitality tent, because I want everyone to be happy. I mean, we spend too much money doing this.
I think he's trying to get just me drunk, so I don't do any good.
Well, I'm not cooking against yourself.
Oh, well, I know that.
I tried that in George West, and it didn't work, so. All I did was get a dang headache, man. Thanks.
Yeah, you show up and you're like, hey, what's this cake?
Come over here, have some of this.
Free beer, buddy. We're going to take care of you.
Yeah.
We're going to make sure you're happy.
It's good. Now I'm going to support it. I want to bring the World Cup over there and support that event. So my uncle's actually putting on a cook-off down in Revere, Texas. And so I'm debating that event. And so I chose to go and help Brett with this, and I'll be there. We'll bring the World Cup, and It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun.
Well, it sounded like, and it sounded like you guys are going to have a lot of guys there. I mean, that'll be good. I know that I talked to another one, Chris Huffman. I know he's going to be there, and we chat a lot together. I know it, I think that this is his first time there because we've talked a little bit about that. I was like, hey, man, go there and cook, have a good time. And I think he's got his grill grates in, and he's ready to go.
So. Yeah, the cooking the steaks for the public has been a challenge because people aren't used to it and they're not used to steak cook-offs. So
they're not.
I've got
yeah,
a couple teams that have done it. So the teams aren't going to have to cook for the public. I've got a couple teams that are have some big grills that volunteer to cook them for them. So, I mean, anybody that's thinking about coming, come on out. You don't have to cook for the public. I've got people to do that. Because, you know, your first time, it's a little intimidating.
Sure. I mean, I still do that stuff. I mean, absolutely. I'll never give up for a barbecue contest. I didn't have a clue what I was doing. I built the pit on a 15-foot trailer. And I wheeled in, and I looked around, and I thought, oh, wow. There's like 70 teams there, and I'm going, well, okay, I guess we're going to do it big. And, you know, knew how to cook barbecue in the backyard and for friends, stuff like that. And, you know, it's like, okay. And a whole different world, And, walked away and went, okay, what happened? And, you know, of course, you don't be an IBT. You didn't hit in the top 10 or anything. You know, it's like, well, you're just sitting there wondering, like, well, okay. So was I real far off or, you know, was it that bad? You know, you didn't know.
When I did my first cook-off, I had never cooked a rack of ribs or a brisket, and I get to the cook-off, and they check me in, and I had no idea what was happening. So I was watching the guys beside me, and I'm like, all right, well, they're pulling their ribs out. So I pulled my ribs out and started working on the ribs, and I guess it was obvious. I didn't know what the heck I was doing, and the guy came over, and I still remember this guy, and I'm not going to say who it is, but he was talking to me about brisket. He said, oh, those judges love a lot of fat on that. Don't clean any of that off. Just cut it and turn it in. All right, sure. And I finished dead last in brisket. I appreciated that a lot.
Thanks,
but
buddy.
I got fourth in ribs, and I was hooked. What I didn't realize is I turned in baby back ribs. I didn't know there was a difference.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I
had no clue.
And this was a Kansas City cook?
No, this was a Lone Star.
Lone Star.
It was my
first
one, yeah.
Yeah, they didn't know either.
They didn't know either, yeah, obviously.
Well, you know, and I think that happens more than what a lot of people think, you know. You know, and that's right. And, you know, I got lucky. You know, our second contest, I had a man, you know, come up to me. I'd cooked that night. It was in probably March, snowing, and, you know, it was just one of those days. And I'll tell you who it was Royce Williams. He walked over to me, and absolutely great guy. You know, it was my second contest, and these guys were all there. Of course, you know, I didn't know really who anybody was, and the head judge was Taylor Fox, and he told me that night. He said tomorrow. He said you see that old man over there. He said he can come over and see you. And I said okay. He said he may offer a little advice. He said whatever he tells you, listen. He said because he will give you some good information. I said okay, I'll do that. And sure enough. It may have been right after chicken turn-in. He come over, and he said, well, hey, you know, how was it? And I said, well, you know, I like it, but, you know, I've liked it before. That didn't mean anything. And he took a bite of it, and he said, there's nothing wrong with your chicken. I said, really? He said, yep. He said, that's good chicken. And we beat him that day, and I thought, wow, okay. And they tasted my ribs. He said, well, he said, I'm going to give you some advice about ribs. And I kind of followed what he told me, and I was like, okay. And he gave me a couple of tips. I come home, I did a little cooking, I went to the next contest, and won first place in ribs. And I was like, Wow. Yeah, that's a great man. You know, so, you know, it was just some minor stuff, but I mean, it was important stuff, you know, those little things that you do will make a big difference sometimes in this. And, you know, I'll never forget that man. I mean, you know, ain't no telling how long he saved me on some stuff because, you know how it is. I mean, if you don't hit, you're sitting there, you're guessing, and you debate about what you've done. And so, it's kind of nice to have some of them kind of ambassadors. And then, you know, of course, then, you know, you get the guys like they do you and like that, you know, thanks for the help.
Yeah. Walking to barbecue. So, but there's been so many other guys after that have just been, I mean, great guys. That's why we do it.
Well,
the people are great, you know.
Yeah, the fellowship and all of that. And just what you said, I mean, you know, most guys you can walk up to and you can talk to them a little bit. And, you know, they may not tell you everything, but they'll give you some pointers. I mean, and they'll, you know.
Yeah,
they
will. They'll give you some pointers.
You know.
They're great help.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and most of the time it is good information, you know. You know, it's great. And, you know, that's what I enjoy about it. And, you know, we've been all over and you know, it's kind of that way everywhere I've been. You know, I really haven't been to any place yet that, you know, that there were just a bunch of people that, you know, didn't want to talk or, you know, share anything with you or anything like that. I mean, you know, it's a great fellowship, and, you know, I enjoy it. And, you know, Brett, I'm glad that you're doing this for the steak deal. I'm going to have to come over and I guess get my butt whipped a little bit cooking some steaks.
Nah, well, you never know. Never know on these deals. And I just hope it goes well so we can do more of them. I mean, I'm tired of driving to Florida and Arkansas and North Carolina. You know, I'd like to have more of these in Texas.
Absolutely. And, you know, and that's the thing is, I mean, we need more of this kind of stuff around here. I mean, I'd love for you guys to have one out here in West Texas. And, you know, we can sure talk about that because, you know, there's lots of guys out here and I could probably get one going. And well, we need to talk about that because, like I said, there's a lot of guys out here like cook steaks. I mean, you know, we have lots of a jackpot, you know, steak cook-offs, you know, on Friday nights and stuff like that. So I don't think it would be all that too hard of a thing to do. I mean, and we're starting to, you know, even IBC-wise, I mean, you know, just this year in West Texas, I mean, you know, the average team has been 60 to, well, around 60, probably 60-plus teams. So, up to Amarillo, 2 weeks ago, we had 105 teams. So, you know, there's a lot more people up here interested in doing it. And you know, something like this here, I think you could get going pretty easy because, you know, it's a minimal investment, you know, for them.
Mm-hmm.
And, but anyways, and then, Monty, I guess, man, you hit the Del Rio deal pretty hard there.
Yeah, that was pretty good. especially after coming off that steak deal and then walk into that and win that was pretty good. That's pretty good 7 days. I mean, I was excited.
Well, you know, that ought to buy you a little bit.
Uh-huh.
I said, that ought to buy you a little bit.
Home.
Yeah, that was all right. I mean.
You got a little bit of reinvestment back in, so, you know.
Yeah.
You know, family's always a little happier about that kind of
thing.
Yeah,
the wife and kids were a little excited. they handled it pretty good. We left straight from Del Rio. We went straight to the river and went and floated the Frio River, and the kids and wife were waiting over there for me to get done with that. So, a big shout out for my wife. I mean, the wife and kids put up with a lot with this cook-off stuff. So, it was pretty great, you know, to be able to go and do that and come back and then go to the river with that big old check. I mean, yeah. It was pretty good. No complaints there.
No, uh-huh. I mean, Yeah, I mean, that's exactly right. I mean, you get that. And did your wife and kids go to a lot of the events with you?
No, they don't. They say I'm too anal. So, no, nobody shows up to a cook-off. My dad will show up because he knows how I am, but, I mean, he'll show up, help me out a little bit. And the wife and kids will not show up to cook-off. They said, I'm too anal. I'm too picky. So, no, we don't do that. So,
I kind of understand that. You know, my brother-in-law is pretty much, you know, my runner and stuff, and you know, we work real well together, and you know, the wife and kids, they come, but you know, they stay out of that end of it a lot. Chris has done some turn-ins for me and stuff, but usually Shay will do that end of it, and she just prefer that. They'd rather, you know, hang out back to the hotel or swim or, you know,
yeah.
But they have.
Get
they,
away.
They've been by my side. Yeah.
That's the way they feel about it. We just want to get away.
Yeah. You know, they've been by my side a lot, and they've always been supporting me. And I give a shout out to my wife and daughter, and because they have. They've stuck through it. And you know, sometimes, you know, she'd be like, I can't believe you didn't place with anything or did anything. And I was like, you know. Sorry, you know, sometimes she's worse than I am. You know, I'm like, well, sorry, I didn't perform like I was supposed to this weekend. And, you know, it is tough, but it is. I mean, we have a good time doing it with the family, and her parents show up a lot, you know, it's been good. And, you know, she hadn't been to as many of them this year. You know, of course, we've been all over the stinking place, too. You know, we've been kind of like you. You know, running to Vegas, you know, and doing a cook-off in 3 days, you know, into Vegas and back. Things like
yep.
that are just, man, yeah. So, but
yeah,
I think that's the hardest part.
You got to have the support. I mean, if you don't have the support, then they got to sit here and watch you practice every day. I mean, we roll in from a cook-off, you get a bad call, or you know you're going to a area that you've not, you know, usually done good in, and then so you got to practice up for it and just do what you can.
Yeah.
So we do that, and they're like, "Ooh, that's different from last weekend." Yeah, but I didn't do anything there last year, so we got to work on it. And I mean, you have to practice. That's the main key. You have to practice.
Well, and just what you said right there, you've got to remember because, you know, those different areas where you didn't do well or you did do well and, you know, the things that you pick up and, you know, you got to remember that from year to year. And
yeah, it's not that you cooked a bad product. It's just they don't like it there. So work on it.
Or it's not what they're used to.
And then run up there, taste it. You know, yeah, you're mad, you're upset, you didn't get a call, you didn't get a walk. Yeah, we made final table. Woo-hoo. Everybody's excited. But run out there, taste it, see what they wanted, and then go with that.
Well,
then,
you know
what they, you know, went for. I mean, it's a game, and it's human beings judging a contest. So
you
got to remember, they've got their own profiles. I mean, one weekend, different from the next.
In some places, you know, I was in a contest last year, and we did that. I mean, we went up and we tasted the winning brisket, and there was three or four of us that went up there to try it, and we were standing there, and we all got a bite of it, and I was standing there, and I'm sitting there, and I'm like, wow, that thing is really different. Had a lot different than any brisket I've ever had, but there was something familiar to it to me. And, you know, I sat there and I chewed on it some more, and I got one more piece, and it finally dawned on me. And it was teriyaki sauce. This thing was covered in teriyaki sauce in West Texas, and it won.
Yeah, I won't mess with that stuff.
It was so far out of the box that, like, okay.
Wow.
I never in 100 years have thought of teriyaki sauce on a brisket. In West Texas, at least. I mean, you know, maybe California or you know, someplace like that, but in, to be in West Texas and that happened. And, you know, everybody looked at me when I said, man, that's teriyaki sauce. And they're like, that's what that is. And I'm like, I cannot believe it. We just got our butts handed to us with teriyaki sauce. So, you do never know. I mean, and then things like that happen.
It does. It does. I mean, you got to expect that every once in a while. But as long as you practice, make a good product. I mean, as long as you practice, that's the main thing. People don't want to practice. They want to go out there and they want to win. But they don't want to put out the effort.
They don't put the work into it. Yeah.
Right. They don't want to, you know, put out the effort to spend the money to do it. And you have to do it. You have to do it.
Well, that is correct. In what you say right there, I mean, the one thing that I found, and it's kind of what we talked about, you know, a little earlier ago, you know, everybody's tired of your barbecue, but what I found and with most of my people and stuff that I do that with is that, you know, they're willing to pay for some food. And so what I do with most of my people is I try to cover my costs with what I'm doing. And, you know, they think it's the best thing in the world, pretty much whatever you cook for the most part. And, you know, so they get a brisket out of the deal or whatever they want. And so that's kind of how I approach it is that, you know, hey, I'm going to cook this weekend, you know, if you want chickens or, you know, whatever. And, you know, you cover your costs. I mean, so, you know, someone might, you know, have a brisket for $25 or, you know, whatever you got into it. And, you know, they're just happy as can be. And, you know, that helps a lot in your practicing. I mean, you can do a lot more of that if you go, you know, at that approach. I don't know if a lot of people do that or not. That's kind of how I do it. And it's worked for me.
Yeah, see, I don't cater much. I mean, I'm doing a wedding this year and a family reunion, and that's it. I mean, that's my extent of catering for 2013. And so... I just don't do it. I'm a competition cook. I mean, they're not going to like if, you know, that's what they want. They want me to say, oh, will you cook what you cooked over here? I can't do that. You'll be tired of it. You will hate it by the time I get done with it. You know, so it's just different. But we've had a good, decent little run, and so...
Well,
to cook what
right,
we cook in competition is sometimes overpowering for catering.
Yeah, it is. It is.
No,
I do a lot of catering, and I can't cook what I cook in competition for catering, or it would just overpower them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'll kill them.
And they're like, man, what is all that stuff like?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Wow.
You know.
Yeah, the first bite is good, but then after that, it's like, oh, my God, you're killing me.
Sensory overload.
I had a guy, one of my buddies here last year, and I did a competition style brisket. And, you know, he came back to me and said, man, he said, I got so much smoke in it. And I was like, really? He said, man, a lot of smoke. He said, if you cut just the very top of it off, oh, it's all gone. And I was like, huh, hadn't even noticed that. And, you know, because most of the time, you know, I have a hard time tasting smoke in a lot of my stuff. And, you know, he said that, and I was like, really? I said, man, I guess that eating a little bit more of that brisket to tell what that was like. And, you know, and then I've got a buddy here that he has a barbecue, and he does a lot of catering and a lot of carryout stuff. He probably, you know, does 60, 70 briskets a week. And, you know, we do that stuff all the time. And I'll never forget the first time I injected the brisket with, you know, beef broth and stuff like a lot of stuff that we do. He tastes like, I don't like that. Yeah. Yeah, I was like, well, that's what it is, buddy. You know, he like, I don't see how people eat that. Well, they're only eating a bite or two of it, so I said, it's not that big of a deal. And I said, I don't think you have to do all that. And I said, well, you need to come compete. And I said, you will learn.
Yeah, you will learn quick.
Mm-hmm. You know, you think that, you know, and that's the deal is, I mean, you know, and that's what I'm saying. I mean, you know, with most of my friends' stuff, I can put rub on a brisket, smoke it, cook it, and, you know, they think it's great. And, you know, I wish, you know, some days it was like that in competition. But, you know, we spend a lot of hours messing with meat, doing the things that we do to them. And,
oh yeah.
And some.
Mm-hmm.
Some look very unconventional, but it works, and you hit it right, and it works well. So, all right, Monty, you being one of these South Texas cooks, and, you know, that's what I brought up a little bit ago about chicken. You know, any advice out there to us West Texas boys, you know, when we come down that way, you know, anything that we might do differently to cook down there with you guys?
I knew this was coming.
I'm listening too, Monty.
Well, it's all right. No, there's not much to a chicken. I mean, a chicken is cooked to a chicken. I mean, you don't want to change it too much. You don't want it too sweet. You don't want it too hot. I mean, it's a basic chicken. So,
okay. Do you grill it? Do you smoke it? Is it hot and fast, a low and slow? I mean,
no. I'll run a chicken on a. I run the chicken cooker. You know, I run that chicken cooker about 290 to 300, and then just let it sit over there above the water and just let it sit and get the skin nice and crispy, and that's pretty much it. I mean, as far as the flavor profile, I couldn't tell you one way or the other. I mean, it's been different each weekend from where I go, so.
Right.
I mean, it's, the flavor profile has just been off the charts here lately, so. But no, you get that skin right where you want it, set it on there, pull it off, and you're good to go.
So, like an average cook time on chicken, I mean, what do you guys look at down there? I mean,
I run a 2-hour chicken.
2-hour chicken, okay.
Yeah, I run 2-hour chicken.
See, I run about 3.5 up here, you know, at times. And, you know, of course, you know, sometimes, you know, things cook a little faster, but,
I basically run a grilled chicken that's slow, you know, with a little smoke.
Okay.
So, it's pretty good.
Okay. Well, you know, like I said, and I mean, I run an offset, so, you know, I run, you know, 275, 300, kind of like you do, but, you know, it takes a little longer because you don't have any, as much of that direct heat on it. And, you know, they always are moist and stuff like that, but, and man, it just, down that way, for some reason, it just don't, I guess maybe it don't have as much of that, the grilled flavor to it as it does the smoke side of it. It's more of a smoked chicken.
They like the grilled chicken down here. I mean, so grill it, put a little bit of smoke to it to just give it a little enhancement, and then that's pretty much it for down here.
Okay. See, that's good to know. I know I'm going to have to come down that part of that way here again before the year's out. And like I said, I mean, that's one thing that always, you know, kills me down that part. I mean, I get down below I-20 and I'll forget it. You know, surrender my chickens right now because, you know, only reason you cook them, if you just might actually get lucky and, you know, hitting the other two categories, you know, you might pull something off. But other than that, it's just a way to spend money.
Right. Yeah, I spent a lot of money, believe me.
Want to know, he's cooking the cook-off this weekend. I got a camera going in there. We'll know what he does. Don't worry.
No, you're not going to know.
Well, hey, I'll tell you what, we'll go one step further with that, Brett. I have a Ustream account on my website. And I can
show
in
everybody.
There.
That'd be...
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what we're going to do. That'll be great.
We could, matter of fact, we could probably charge a fee for it for the other competitors.
All right, that's horrible.
Now we're talking.
Now I may not go.
We can make
money. What are you
talking about, man? I think I'm going to go to Rivera now for the Ivy State cook-off down there.
Hey, that's a great idea. You know, technology is wonderful, man, you know?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. And it's horrible at the same time.
Yes, it is. Well, you know, it's like my wife, you know, she'll talk about, you know, when they're sitting around camp stuff and, you know, I'll be doing stuff. And, you know, people will come by and, And, you know, she'll be like, man, she says, everybody's looking at everything that you have out and what you're doing or studying it. And I was like, well, that's good, because I said next week it'll probably change anyway, so everybody ain't going to matter.
That's right. It will.
But you know, I don't notice it, you know, and you guys are probably the same way, too. You don't notice all that going on in the background. When you're in there doing your work and, you know, people come by, you talk to them, and I really don't pay attention to that end of it. And, you know, but someone sitting kind of on the outside looking in, watching, it's like, man, it's just amazing to watch what's going on. And, I said, you know, I just don't think about those things. And, the fun thing about that is it's even like rugs and stuff like that. You know, I've had people buy my rugs and that end of it, and, you know, and I've had that conversation, you know, and say, well, you know, I cooked it the same way you did this weekend and used your rub and everything, and we didn't hit. Well, you know, you didn't cook it exactly like I did, or you may have. And, you know, there's still that, you know, that personal touch and the style of cooking that changes that, I believe.
Yeah, it's still the process you have to go through.
Absolutely. So, you know, and people don't realize that. I mean, you know, it's one of those things. I mean, they think, well, if I go out there and I'm using the same kind of cooker he's got and I have the same stuff he's done, and, you know, I'm Bobby Filet now, you know.
But did you practice that before you went over there? I mean, that is the main thing. I mean, did you practice it 15, 20 times? You got to practice it. I mean, you're going to a comp. You're going to spend money to go there, practice. It's just like football, baseball. Like my kids, I mean, they practice all week long to go to a game. You've got to practice to get good to win the game.
Sure.
It's no difference. I mean, I used to rodeo. I mean, I practiced every day for weeks and weeks and weeks. I mean, you got to do it. If you don't do it,
you're paid up. You're still doing it.
You might as well just.
Exactly right.
If you want to win,
that's it.
You know, you can get there in the middle on mediocre stuff and all that stuff, but I mean, you got to practice. When it gets cold, get out there, fire the pit, see what your pit does when it gets cold.
That's it.
Same
it's
thing.
Gonna change.
You know? Yeah, everything's going to change. So you just got to try it and see what you can do.
That's it. I mean, that's absolutely it. I mean, you're dead on about that. And, you know, it's one of those things that, I mean, you know, you get out of it as much effort as you put into it. I mean,
right.
You know, and people don't realize that. You know, they think, well, you know, once you figured out what it is, you know, that's just the way it is. And, you know, it's not. And, you know, I run spreadsheets. So I have spreadsheets from every cook-off that I've done. And, you know, so I kind of know what went on, you know, where I, you know, may not have blown up something quite the way it needed to be. Or, and then just what you say, I mean, you got temperatures that change, or your wood may not have as much BTU content in it, so you may not be running as hot as you normally would, and you can't get it hot, or, you know, it's not drawing like it should, you know, that weekend, you know, and you're one of them situations. And, you know, you got to also be able to compensate, you know, for those ends of it. I was at a cook-off here a few weeks ago, and a guy, the way we were all positioned in there, he couldn't move his pit, and his pit was essentially turned into a reverse flow, and all the smoke was coming out of the firebox and set up the stack. And he said, man, he said, I'm done. He said, I ain't going to be able to get my chickens done. And I went over and I grabbed some tinfoil and went over and I kind of built a makeshift glue on his deal. He went to draw him, and damn it, he beat me. And I was like, the way it usually goes. But, you know, it's those things like that. They don't know enough about their cookers and stuff to learn how to compensate for things that happen sometimes. And, you know, that's the other side of it. I mean, you need to know your equipment really well and know the capabilities or you know, when those conditions happen, what to do to correct it to get it to work. Because if you don't, yeah, you're there. And, I mean, I've been there. I got stuck in a cook's meeting last year. It was windy, and I mean, we were in this cook's meeting for over an hour trying to get trays. And they were essentially handing them up out of the back of a car. And I had a piece of foil on my stack that weekend. And, you know, it's on and on and on. And, I mean, I'm over there and I'm thinking, man, my ribs are going to burn up. And at one point, I ran back over there to check everything and went back over and ended up in the back of the line again. And I passed this piece of tinfoil, and it didn't even dawn on me where that piece of tinfoil come from. And it was off my stack, and so my pit wasn't drawing the whole time I was over there. And, you know, it comes to turn in, and I'm probably 30 minutes away from where my ribs needed to be. And it was all because, you know, I'm over there dealing with that and not tending to the cooker. And, you know, it can hurt you. And, you know, and you have a weekend like you did, I mean, where, you know, there's $10,000 somewhere on the line like that, that's a big deal.
Yeah, but I cheated. I had a fat girl. So the wind could have affected anything. It didn't matter. The well, you know, Billy Overton is a great product. I'm sure you've talked to him before.
Yes,
that's a great product. I mean, it's
him and Jeff Wyatt, and all them boys.
Oh yeah, Jeff Wyatt. That's one of my secret rubs there. Oh, did I say? Oh shoot. All right, my wife just picked me up on the head with a shoe. All right, I'm done.
Nah, you're good.
Keep talking,
nah,
buddy. Keep talking.
Yeah, I'll get you one more call before it's over.
You need to get on the phone.
Don't even need to give him beer.
Huh?
I said, we don't even need to get him drunk. You just
Yeah, this is the bad part of it. I just got through mowing the yard today, and I was like, oh, we got to get on this call. I better hurry up. So,
well, that's good, guys.
No, it's fun.
It is. And, you know, and that's the other thing about it is, you know, we all live by it anymore. I mean, you know, do you go a day without talking barbecue anymore or steak cook-offs or anything of that nature?
Do I do what?
No.
Oh.
No. I mean, I can't sleep. I'm having to take NyQuil just to sleep because I'm so excited about the cook-off next weekend. That's what's sad.
But, yeah. I mean, that's it. I mean, unfortunately, I say it's unfortunate in ways it does. I mean, our lives have been consumed by it. And, you know, in ways, you know, become obsessed. And I mean, it is. I mean, it's almost like a drug because, I mean, you can't get enough of it. And, I mean, you can be dead butt tired, wore out, dragging your home, and got your butt whooped in the wind, you know, have tore up equipment, and it's like, I am done. And by Wednesday, it's like, okay, I guess I need to get some stuff
ready. Yeah, we got to get re-energized.
And it's like, and, you know, and that's when my wife leaves, it's like, are you really going again? It's like, yeah, I think so. And are you serious? I'm like, yeah, I think so. Yeah, it'll be all right. I mean, I sleep Sunday when I come home. You know, it'll be great. And we did that last year. We had I had a cook-off the weekend before Traders Village. So we did it. Went to Traders Village. Come home. And there was a little contest in Amarillo, which is about 70 miles away from here. And I thought, you know, it'd probably be 20, 30 teams, and we're fixing to go to Meridian. And I'm thinking, you know, it'd be really good to probably catch that, you know, just what you said, practice. You know, kind of go up there, you know, be quiet, you know, not put up any banners or anything. Just kind of go incognito just to go up there and cook, you know, and see what you can do. And she's like, are you really going? I said, yep, that's what I'm going to go. I said, it's close, it's cheap, it's like $75 entry fee. I'm going to go up there, you know, see if we hit. And, you know, I got up there, funniest story, I get up there and I said, I don't put anything up. I don't get there till like 9 o'clock on Friday night. I get my stuff ready. And the head judge shows up the next morning and we're standing there. She said, and I guess it was right after Trader's Village. She said, well, she said, I seen you did really well over Trader's. And I was like, I don't know what you mean by well. I said, we were final table, but, and, you know, everybody just kind of like, oh, you were at Traders last weekend. And that's like game on. And I was like, well, heck, I got 3 10th places that day. Out of like 22 teams, I was like, how does that work? And, you know, then turned around, we went to Meridian, and then I turned around, though, Taylor Fox was having that world championship wild hog contest, and he'd been on my butt about coming. I'm like, dude, I don't know, man. I've been on the road so much. I probably won. He's like, well, he kept telling me, he said, well, your odds would be better if you, you know, maybe stay home from Meridian. Your odds would be better if you come over here and cook with us. And and I was like, uh-huh. And sure enough, I got back from Meridian. I caved in. We went over there, and I mean, all the heavy hitters were over there. Old Big Fish was over there, Brian McLarty, and, I mean, old Sonny Blade. All them boys showed up, and I was like, yeah. I said, I think I just donated some money to the cause this week is what I did. I said, you were just looking for some free money. And but, you know, you did. I mean, I went 4 or 5 weeks in a row, and, I mean, I was just pooped. And I thought, well, I'll be good for a while. But, you know, within a week, I was ready to go again. And I couldn't find anything to cook. So, no, it is. It's very addicting, and it has consumed our lives. And in some ways, good. I mean, you know, so...
It has. I mean, I was dying to go somewhere this weekend. I just couldn't go. I mean, it's just, you know, you're just waiting for that.
And
that
that's what everybody asks you.
Just right down the road, so.
Oh, man. You know, that's what everybody asks you. That's like my dad. You know, he'll call. He says, or I'll call him. He said, well, where were you this weekend? I was sitting around the house this weekend. You weren't at a cook-off? Well, not this weekend. Are you okay? I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. There's nothing to do.
Yeah, I wanted to go. I mean, it's just, I'm still on that fence. Like I told you, it's just still on the fence about running for the number 7. You know, you got to get that 7. And so, you know, that's where I'm at this point. Just wait for the, I'll go to one that's here close. If I can pick up a quick hit, then I'll run for it. I mean, I'm going to run all over the place. I mean, just to run to do them. And so, if I don't.
Well, I mean, because you need, what, 50 teams, or it's got to be a state championship for it to qualify. And, you know, that also makes it a little tough. And then I think in the cutoff, like July 31st, is that right?
It's like August 31st, so we're.
It's August.
You know, I've got 3 lined up on my regular schedule, but. I need like 7 or 8 lined up to do it.
Just in case.
You're not, I'm not very confident on those 3 that I have lined up because, I mean, there's some dang good teams up there. So, I've got to figure out something and make a run for it and go somewhere I'm not accustomed to. So, we'll try. If we can get a quick hit. If we can't get a quick hit, then, we'll just coast on, have a good year, and call it done.
Well, you get as far as you have. I mean, you're over the 50%. I mean, you're 2/3 of the way there.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's tough.
So,
it's a tough decision. It's just...
It is. And, yeah, I mean, what do you do? And you know, and seeing that's where I was, you know, like when I did the Vegas deal. I mean, you know, I was sitting there thinking, man, that's a long ways over. It's 1,000 miles to go over there. But I thought, well, we'll go ahead and do it, see what happens. And you know, of course, it wasn't so pretty, but you know,
you're talking about
it,
the world, the food championship.
No, I went and cooked in the regional Kansas City Sam's Club Challenge. We had advanced out of Albuquerque, and, man, you know, it was just, you know, you're in there with, with Trig and IAB, 30, Big Papa Smokers. I mean, it was just a hell of a lineup. And I'm sitting there going, oh, geez, this is probably not the smartest thing I've done. But, you know, you sit there and you look at it, you've got a 1 in 3 shot out of the deal, too. And it all drops back into the judges. Stuff you never know. And, you know, we'd been hit pretty good. We'd cooked against, like, IAB. And, you know, we kind of held our own. We cooked against Mo Casey and kind of held our own, you know. So, you know, we were kind of in there with pork and brisket this year. In Kansas City, we've done pretty well in it. And except for a few exceptions here and there. And so it's like, well, you know, and then, you know, ribs and chicken were kind of, you know, in there, you know. Ernest and I, we were kind of neck and neck in ribs in Midland. And you know, so, you know, you're in there, you're kind of close, and you're doing okay, and you think, well, hell, you know, what you got to lose? And, you know, we lucked out. I mean, we took a pork, you know, a walking pork place, and, you know, brought home not much money, but a little bit of money out of it and a little trope. And, you know, I feel a lot better about cooking pork now. I mean, you know, with those kind of caliber of teams. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, on the other end of it, it was kind of expensive. The only thing that really saved my butt was winning a grand champion the weekend before. Had a little bit of cash, to, you know, to do it. But it is. It, those are hard decisions to make. And, you know,
no,
you
they
there,
aren't. Just,
you think, man,
I can take
I do
my,
that
you know, my winnings from this year and say, okay, let's go to the World Food Championships there in Las Vegas and try my stuff out there. Or, you know, let's make a decision if we want to run for number 7 to get to the Jack. I mean, I've got 4. I'm happy about that. They've been, you know, just phenomenal cook-offs. And I'm just trying to decide right now, you know, I can't pay for both, but we're going to go to one or the other. I mean, we need to try for one or the other. I mean, I can spend the money that I would pay to go to Vegas, or let's try for the Jack. So
yeah,
it's just a hit and miss thing. And, you know, the odds of me going to the Jack are slim, but I've already qualified for Vegas. So what do you do? You know, which way do you want to go with it?
Yeah,
you can't
exactly
do both.
Right. Well, and that's us. I mean, you know, and that's just what you said. I kind of had that similar situation because, you know, we'd qualified for the Royal, and, you know, and then I'm in this regional deal, and I'm sitting there thinking, you know, Dad, you know, if we hit in that thing, Bill, I mean, they're 2 weeks apart, you know, to go to the national part of the Sam's Club, and then you got the Royal there, and I'm thinking, you know, there's no way, same thing, there's no way we can do both. And so when we didn't hit, we didn't advance in the Sam's deal. To be honest with you, it was kind of a relief because it's like, well, if we can go and cook the Royal this year, and I don't have that extra pressure to try to figure out, you know, which one to do or not to do. And
mm-hmm.
you know, it is, because it is. I mean, it gets expensive, and man, you know, that's the thing that people don't realize, is that, you know, the think of this, you know, there's a lot of rednecks out there, but there's a lot of stuff that goes into these cooks, and people don't realize it. And a lot of dedication and everything else. So now that's kind of where we've been this year. And I think right now, if everything if it all works out, we're gonna hit the Royal, you know, go up there and see how bad that, you know, whipping might be. But you know, but it's what it is. I mean, you never know. I mean, you may have that day.
Yeah, you got to go to the Royal. I mean, the Royal is fantastic. It's a wonderful event, well run. Oh, man, I went up there first year. KCBS. I've never cooked KCBS. And to go there and do it 2 days in a row for the Invitational and the Open, oh.
Yep.
You'd be wore out. It's completely absurd, you know, as far as what you are required to do. And if you don't have the people that are there to help you, I mean, it is different.
Yes. Well, you know, and we're kind of fortunate in that. I've got a friend that he's in Cargill in the meat side of it, and they live about 60 miles from there. And so, you know, the wife and kid will go up there. The girls would kind of hang out and kind of do their thing, which Lexi will probably cook in the kids' queue up there and on Saturday. But I told her, I said, well, you know, I said, Wes and I, so we'll go up there and we'll cook, and he can kind of do my running, and my brother will probably go too. So, you know, we'll have some support behind us on that, and it works out pretty good. Because, I mean, that's exactly right. I mean, in events like that, you've got to have help. I mean,
yeah, you do. I mean, my friend Justin Bray, they getting ready to open up a restaurant here in Robstown, Texas. And they were practicing just like I was. I mean, we busted our butts to get up there, and then we made the trip. And then we get up there, and then it wasn't heartbreaking. It was just, wow, the results, yeah, where they come out.
But, you know, and that is the one thing that I will say that I do like about that is you know where you're at. And, I mean, you know, if it's a...
Yeah, I do like,
you know,
that.
If,
that's true.
If it's a taste thing, or if it's a tenderness thing, or, you know, an appearance deal. And, you know, there's some parts that I like about that. And, you know, I've had some of that. And you look at, you know, like tenderness. And, you know, of course, tenderness can mean, you know, also that you've not cooked it, and it's not
over,
you know, it's
or under.
That's right. Or you can have chicken where you've overcooked it, and they're going to nail you that way, too.
Because your skin was too tough.
Skin was too tough. Chicken just kind of, like, completely disintegrated off the bone when you touched it. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, those things happen. But, I mean, you do. You know, of course, some of those things you kind of know when you go into it. I mean, kind of where you're at on that. I mean, you know, and that's been kind of a funny deal like this year with me with pork. I mean, I've had 3 or 4 calls and, you know, top 10 calls in pork this year. And this is the first year I've ever messed with the money muscle. You know, times before I didn't mess with it. I just did pulled and I was done. And but I went ahead and I took the extra steps this year to pull the money muscle out and slice it. And I had one that, man, that thing just about catered. I mean, it was so hard to cut. It was so tender. And I thought, you know, that thing ain't going to do anything. Matter of fact, I think it was Vegas. And, you know, I was really disappointed because I thought, you know, they're going to nail me on it. And, you know, I said, you hit a fourth place or something like that out of it. And it's like, wow, you know. So, you know. Sometimes it'll surprise you, you know. So, and you know, that's one of those deals. I mean, you learn, and you go from there on that end of it. And I guess it's kind of like, you know, cooking steaks too. You know, you start learning it real well. You know, it's not all just about sticking a thermometer in a steak to find the temperature. I mean, there's other ways of gauging those steaks to know where they're at and not having to hit them. And, you know, a lot of people don't realize that, you know, they want to squeeze the thing to death. And, you know, just one little push with your finger, or is how I do it, one little push with my finger, I can kind of tell where we're at. So.
Yeah, you really don't need a thermal pan once you've cooked enough of them, you can tell, but
yeah,
it doesn't hurt, especially, you know, when you're wanting the exact temperature to turn it in.
Yeah.
Sure. Absolutely. I mean, you know, it's like chicken, you know, it's like old, you know, Brian had this year, Brian, you know, Big Fish, you know, he had a thermal pan that malfunctioned on him, and he got a DQ and a chicken deal, and, you know, it's like, man, oh, that's, you know, but, you know, on the same side of it is, you know, I hardly ever stick a chicken. I kind of know my cook process and my sizes and stuff like that and where I'm at, and I kind of feel how they are. And most of the time, you know, I don't do an internal temperature on them. You know, if I am questionable on one, you know, I might stick one, you know, just to kind of see where we're at. But, you know, I've gotten to where, you know, most of the time it's all, you know, my stuff's, you know, mostly temperature, or I mean time. You know, I don't worry about its temperature as much as some people do. And, you know, sometimes that may be bad, but, you know, that's what's worked for us.
Well, I mean bad as long as you're practicing.
No,
it just means
you're practicing.
Yeah. You know,
you're practicing and you know your food. And,
yeah.
I mean, you hear a lot of first-time cookers complain, man, the same guys won this week. They're the same guys that are cooking a lot. Same guys
that
are practicing.
That's it.
Now, you're cooking 2 cook-offs a year and you're hammered and you wonder why you're not placing. and you're complaining.
Absolutely.
You see a lot of that out there, unfortunately.
Yeah, we went like we just did the World State Championship cook-off. We went to the World. I mean, I knew that was a big event. It was going to be huge. It was going to be a lot of things. And I told myself and told the wife and kids that we're going to run 8 runs on stakes before we go up there. And she says, don't you think that's too much? I said, nope. We didn't get to run 8. We ran 7. I ran 7 runs on stakes before we went up there. It paid off. It worked. It may not work next year, but it worked this year. So
that's right.
That was, you know, this year. Next year's going to be a whole different story. And so
I'm going after you next year, buddy.
Yeah, it is. I mean, you work on it, you bust your butt. As long as you're putting out there the best thing you can do and practicing it, you're going to win. You're going to win something.
Right.
As long as you put out the effort to do it.
And, you know, the other thing that I see, too, and, you know, in my opinion, is it's like with all the technology that we do have and the internet and everything else, you know, the level of competition is increasing at a greater degree than, you know, what it used to be. And because people know a lot more, there's a lot more information out there, there's a lot more products out there for people. And, you know, the ones that are, just like you said, the ones that are doing the cooking and stuff like that, practicing and messing with that stuff, are doing well. And, you know, you do have those little events, you know, here and there where, you know, you get some backyard cooks that, you know, they hit a lick. Or, you know, they're the local guys that do a lot of cooking for their people around there, and that's what hits too.
And they will. I mean, they'll hit. I mean, just this weekend up in, I think it was Floresville, I think a local cook won the whole deal. Even Ernest was there. I think Ernest got reserve grand. And, they're going to get lucky like that. But you run out there, you practice, you focus on your product, you know your timing, you know your temperature, you know your wood. It's going to be hard to beat you.
Yep.
It's going to be hard to beat you.
No matter what. Exactly.
I know for a fact that Ernest practices his butt off. I mean, he's out there. He's doing
it. Absolutely. Yes. And that's the thing. I mean, you know, that is exactly it. I mean, you know, you cook the weekends that you're off or during the week, and then, like I said, you know, depending on how many contests you're hitting, I mean, you know, if you're hitting contests every week, you know, that's also a huge thing, too. You know, if you're doing all that regularly, if you're in the sink, you know, you got those turn-in times and all that stuff. So, I mean, it's all, you know, you're getting that fluid motion going. And, you know, you walk into those things, it's like, okay, you know, have this, and this, and I'm here, I've got this done. And, you know, it's like even last year for us, you know, I was trimming ribs and stuff sometimes, you know, at 2 o'clock in the morning, you know. And, you know, this year here, I mean, you know, generally, you know, unless I just got a long ways to go, 8, 9 o'clock, I've got all that done sitting around. I mean, you know, everything's injected that needs to be injected. Things are done where they need to be done. And you're sitting there and you're just kind of studying what needs to happen. And, you know, like I said, I run a spreadsheet. I adjust my spreadsheets every time. I have a new spreadsheet for every contest that I go to. And, you know, I tweak them as I go. And, you know, things I see, you know, where they're hitting, not hitting, you know, and you make those adjustments. And that's what has been probably my biggest success in doing that, because it's made me a consistent cook. The other thing is recipes, you know. That's something else a lot of people don't do. You know, and I grew up just cooking, you know. You seasoned it to taste, and you went on down the road. And I got into competition, that didn't work as well. You write your stuff down, you pay attention to what you're doing. You know, if you're making your own rubs and stuff like that, you write that stuff down to where you can duplicate it. And that
That's
makes
right.
a huge difference, too.
It does.
Yeah. And,
you go taste other people's stuff, and you go judge. I mean, you get out there, you get involved. I mean, just walk out there and say, okay, I'm too busy to cook this weekend. I can't get my stuff ready. Go judge the event. See what they're like. And then when you get out there, and, you know, you're probably going to score it lower than the other judges, but stay in there, wait till all the public judges leave, and then you'll get to taste or feel what everybody else picked. And you're like, man, I scored that a 9, or I scored that a 5. And then you'll know what everybody else is doing. It's just, you just got to get out there and do it. I mean, it's there
walk
for
the
you. All you got to do is go do it.
You know, and it's funny. I mean, most people don't do that stuff, you know. And, you know, and I'm guilty to it. You know, sometimes, too, you know. It, you know, I don't get to taste quite as much as I do, you know. You know, with all these cooks up here, you know, where we're at, I mean, you know, we usually sample each other's stuff, and we kind of know where, you know, this or that is. And you know, I had one last year that they, when they got to judging brisket, they were all drinking beer.
Oh, yeah.
And,
yeah,
you know,
get out the salt.
I'm not, you know, exactly. And, you know, of course,
but you
got to
know that
there,
before you get there.
That's
yeah.
it. You know, I'm sitting there thinking, wow, oops, that's bad. And, you know, we don't do, you know, we don't do very well. You know, we go back there this year, 105 teams. And I'm sitting there going, oh, yeah, we're putting the salt to it today. But salt,
yeah, Brett,
good, you know.
Brett knows about
like
salt. I mean, he came to my tent this week or a few weekends ago, and he knows about salt.
I know a little bit about it, yeah.
Well, see, everybody around here, they call me the pepper guy. You know, it's like, well, yeah, you know, you cook with lots of pepper. Yeah, I do.
You should be good in Central Texas, then.
You know, you okay, you're right. I mean, I'm sorry, you know. And you know, that's what I'm saying, you know, back to that again, to where, you know, you're not paying attention to what they're all looking at, but, you know, they see the bottle of a restaurant, you know, style black pepper over there, and it's like, huh, okay. And, yeah, I like pepper. And, you know, I'll put a lot more pepper on something than salt. And, you know, like I said, this year it's like, okay, we need to add salt to this. And, it, you know, it helped. It's like, okay, you know, it's a step in the right direction. Next year, I'll adjust a little bit more. And, you know, you learn those things, and you pay attention to what's going on, and just, I mean, absolutely. Now, I didn't have a clue about that. That was the first time I had, I'd been involved in the beer drinking fest that, like, they had up there. And, like I said, you know, just what you said, I mean, I'm sitting in there, and they're judging final tables, so, and beer is flying all over the place. And I'm going, oh, this is not good. We just screwed up, and everybody's looking at me, well, to tell you how bad this was, there was 84 teams there. We were in a three-way tie for grand champion. I lost the grand champion out of the deal because I didn't get brisket.
Oh, I thought it was because you were drinking.
that one stung a little bit. It was like, oh, man. So, you know, You learn real quick on those things, and you better adjust. You don't, you're out. And you know, so no, it is lots of fun, lots of things to go on. So any other tips and stuff that you guys would give about steak cooking to whoever?
Go ahead, Brett. You're a professional. I've only beat you once because I've only cooked against you once. I'll take
true.
That. Let you take it.
Yeah, you better retire, buddy. Good day's coming. No. You'll get to where, like you talked about your chicken, you know when that steak's done. You know when you got enough char on it. Now it's just a matter of getting that heat right and letting the steak shine through. Because I love when I see somebody over there and they get their steaks at, you know, the cook's meeting at 11 o'clock and they're due at 4 and they're marinating them. I'm like, well, that's one less person to worry about.
I know. I love that, too.
I love watching those guys. So, but, you know, it's going to be our cook-off will be tough because we don't have local guys, just grocery store guys or banks in it. It's all cookers like Monty. I mean, it's a tough crowd. And I've been looking at Facebook this evening, and you won't believe how many guys are posting their steak pictures tonight.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, they're practicing.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, they're practicing.
They're
getting ready.
They're practicing and posting them and sending me messages and good-looking steaks. I mean, it's making me hungry.
Well, good.
You know, the hardest part for me
is
it's getting out there. Hardest part for me is I can't cook. It's going to drive me insane, but it's building the better good. If I can have more of these, then it's, you know.
I think we need a sidebar, and I want to re-challenge you. Maybe
I'll
do that.
I'm in. Let's do it.
Well, maybe we just need to bring you two out to West Texas. You know, we'll put you on a level playing ground, you know.
Yeah, that would be fun. Yeah. That would be fun. Come out to West Texas and do a challenge.
Yeah, I mean, okay. Well, we can thank your work on something like that because, I mean, you know.
I know he's good.
I'm all for
it. I know he's good, but, you know.
There's not rust on my trophy yet, buddy. I'm not buried yet. Don't worry.
That's good.
Don't worry.
No, we need to do something like
that.
Maybe.
I'm hot. You know, 2 years from now, I'll be like, okay, I messed up back then.
Well, if you get a hit and win ours, maybe you go to Tulsa. I'll be at Tulsa.
Oh, there's a challenge right there.
I'm not scared. Tulsa's a great place.
There it is.
I know the guy that runs it. He might put us right in front of the stage even.
He probably
Come
would.
On.
Hey, there you go. You know, this is
I'm
starting to happen on my show a lot here. You know,
I'll be there. Let's do it.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah, heck yeah.
So
oh,
there it
God.
Is. So now you can call. We can call back in and say, oh, okay, this is what happened. He beat me
We
bad.
Will do it. Y'all mark it. We
Brett,
will definitely
Brett's
do it. Cooking. We'll report the result. We'll see
Brett's
how it's
taking up bowling. He's drinking cheap
no,
beer and bowling now because he can't cook anymore.
Cheap beer and bowling.
Bought a bad shirt.
Well, just make sure you get Monty a keg of a natural light or something, you know, that's
yeah,
for him.
Yeah, yeah, that's what he likes.
I can't believe y'all that way.
Get him some natty.
So, or maybe you ought to go the other way, you know, get some Shiner Bock or something like that. You know,
oh, no, Shiner, I will do that.
Yeah,
you know,
I can handle that.
Shiner Texas. We can do that.
Yeah,
no, it's going to be fun. It's going to be good. I hope a lot of people are going to show up. I mean, it's going to be fun.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I mean, that makes me kind of feel a little bit better that you got, you know, if you got some guys posting stuff tonight, maybe we kind of got that out there a little bit. Maybe you guys will have a little bit better of a response. And, you know, you guys, anything like this that you guys want to promote or, you know, you've done well or something like that, I want to invite you guys. You guys are welcome to call in anytime. And, you know, we can discuss that stuff and,
Well, to be honest with you, he's already got enough teams. We don't need any more, you know. He's already guaranteed the money, so we don't need any more.
Wow.
Shut
down now.
Yeah.
I'm feeling with you, Brad.
So,
the money's guaranteed. So.
Now,
it is.
And then I think I told Monty this the other day. Something else for you guys to think about, too, is, I don't know if Brett, are you familiar with Audrey Evans out of Barbecue Times?
She's on my Facebook, and I've seen some of her posts, but I don't know her personally, no.
Okay. Well, I've talked to her a little bit. I do some advertising stuff through her from time to time. And one thing that her and I both would like to kind of get going is some more information and stuff about the IBCA or even your North Texas State Cook-Off type stuff, any of that kind of stuff, pictures, write-ups, any of that kind of stuff, if you guys can send to me or send to her, I can always send you a link to her. Would love to start putting that stuff in, her publication, and starting to get it, you know, out this way too for everybody.
Okay.
And,
yeah, we'll
you
do
know,
it.
Okay. And so, you know, She's very on board on that end of it, and you know I told her I said I think it's a great idea, to get that going and, you know, kind of get some of that, you know, like I said, be able to, you know, spotlight, you know, some of your people, stuff like that. You know, we might be able to even get, you know, like the winners and stuff from this cook-off next weekend for you guys. Get it in the publication, get it kind of published out there and, you know, have a little bit of information. So if you want to write something up, something like that, I'll see what we can do about getting it put in there.
Okay. Yeah, we'll do that.
So, well, it's been almost 2 hours. We've managed to keep it alive for this long.
We did it.
Yeah, we've got a few more people call in, but it was a little quiet on that end of it tonight. So that's okay, and it's kind of nice every now and then, actually. And
I definitely appreciate you having me on. It's been
yeah,
fun.
Thank you.
Anytime.
That was great.
Well, if you guys want to give a shout-out to your sponsors or, you know, anything you want to kind of promote, your team or anything on that end of it, why don't you guys go ahead and give a shout-out to all of that. And I guess, Brett, you can start it off.
Yeah, Brett.
All right. Well, I want to first thank you for having us on and, you know, some of the people that have helped us along the way and even with our cook-off, Grill Greats and, you know, Tim Pregler with Tasty Bake donated stuff for the cook-off and Red Bull's helping us out, and my vodka sponsor is always a big thank you to them because they keep everyone and all our friends happy as well. But Dripping Springs out of Dripping Springs, Texas, make a great vodka, and they're a great sponsor for us. So that's really it for us. Of course,
okay.
My beautiful wife that allows me to cook. She'll be the one
go.
Doing the awards on Saturday, so she'll be announcing.
Do you have a Facebook page or anything like that?
We do. I've actually got two. I've got the USA Cooking, and then Rib Public of Texas. That's I kind of got sued a little bit on the United States of America name, so I've had to jump off of that bandwagon, and I'm starting to cook barbecue under the Rib Public of Texas now.
Okay.
So it's on Facebook, and we've got web page as well.
Okay. Good deal. Anybody can go out there and take a look and support you guys.
No.
All right, Monty, how about you?
Oh, man, it's at least a mile long, but, you know, as far as barbecue world and steak stuff, I mean, we've got Billy Overton, Arno Smokers, Danny Patton, One Man Pits, of course, Ernest Cervantes, Burnt Bean Company, Ritter's Barbecue, Doug and Carol Ritter, they've been great. Jeff White with his redneck rubs to help me get to the barbecue world. Of course, you know, even Brett, you know, I'll even give him a shout out there, you know, because he helped me with his steaks. And Grill Grapes, they, you know, they did what they were supposed to, and you know, I used them, and yeah, it was fun, and you know, now we're just deciding what to do. Go for the fourth, you know, the fifth qualifier, and or not, and we'll have fun with it. I mean, it's all about fun. So
absolutely,
as long as everybody's having fun, practicing, do your best, you'll be all right.
Well, do you have a Facebook page too? You want to throw that out there for everybody?
Well, I've got Trash Can Cookers. I've worked on it. I've been trying to play with it. It's not out there. It's not all public like everybody else is posting them, like my page. But it's there.
You mean you're too busy practicing?
But I do post my
page?
Own stuff on my own, you know, so if you want to, like, you know, look for me, it's fine. That's cool. And it'll get there. It's just taking me a little bit. I do have a full-time job, so I have to work with that. So.
Yes, sir.
Oh, boy.
So.
But it's fun.
Well, good.
We're having a good time. I mean, and I really appreciate you having us on tonight. So,
anytime. I hope you guys join in. And, you know, I said anytime you guys need anything or want to talk about something, give me a call and or send me a message, and we'll get it on that week. And we'll talk about it. And like I said, I'm here to try to help, you know, promote this stuff and you know, kind of be the voice of, you know, I'd like to kind of become the voice of the IBCA and you know, Texas, and get it out there for everybody. So,
yeah, it would be great. I mean,
well,
I think it's the unhidden secret out there.
Well, I think you're right, and like I said, I think we'll go from there, and I like to, you know, tell everybody too. They can find me at, you know, on Facebook under West Texas Pitmasters. That's kind of my page too. You know, come over and take a look at it. And other than that, we're out of time. And like I said, I appreciate you guys calling in very much. And
thank you.
If you give me some information and stuff on the results or something on this state cook-off stuff like
okay.
that, and I'll see if we can get Audrey to kind of get it out there for everybody.
Sounds good. We'll do it. Appreciate it.
Okay. All right, guys. Have a good night.
Thank you.
All right. Take care, bye. Thanks.
All right.
Bye-bye.
See you, bye.
Bye.